line for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, listeners. It is Monday, October 9th. It's Columbus Day. The markets are closed. The banks are closed. Maybe you're closed up as well. Some mortgage bankers work on holidays. Some do not. But anyway, we're glad you're here listening to this podcast, whether it's on Columbus Day or not. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. We are here to bring you timely information. That is our commitment, is to bring you timely information in an audio format you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Joining me today is my co-host, Mark Helm. Mark, good to have you here, friend. Appreciate you dialing.
Always, David. It's great to be here, sir.
It is good. It is really good. Mark, let's run through the sponsors we have for our podcast, starting off with Byte.
Let's start with Byte. If you're tired of long contracts, failing implementations, or having to change your process to fit your LOS, maybe it's time to see why Byte has so many happy clients.
And they do have some happy clients. I was just talking to one of their representatives, and they were speaking at a conference recently at an MBA conference. And one of their users stood up at that conference. They did a polling of the audience. They were trying to drive home the point that who's happy with their LOS. And two people in the audience stood up, says, we have Byte software. I thought that was a real good commentary on that. Also, there's Finastra. Rely on the automated email notifications for various stages of each loan and access real-time pipeline view to easily search for loans and quickly access the necessary details and information. Finastra, thank you so much for your sponsorship. The largest fintech company in the world.
And there's Total Expert, who David and I have had opportunity to speak with on different podcasts, has a built-in customer journeys that give lenders a starting place for nurturing their campaigns.
Also, Candor Technology, building upon the popular LES decision engine, Candor is a Lean Six Sigma human plus machine solution spanning the entire loan fulfillment process. Got to check out what Candor. More and more are looking to Candor to underwrite their loans in a very lean and Six Sigma way. Positive, great solution.
SimpleNexus gives loan officers a better way to engage with borrowers, helping them feel supported at every step. This support builds loyal relationships that in turn improves pull-through rates, drives referrals, and increases revenue, which cannot be bad. It's got to be good for the client.
Yeah, and we also have iEmergent, also the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We've got the annual conference coming up in the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, coming up here in just a week out. Just so exciting. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these are co-ops that really allow you to get closer to your peers and find out exactly what they're doing and share the knowledge of what's working for them and what isn't working for them. Also, Knowledge Coop, it's a great learning management system. Encourage you to check that out. Also, we have Mobility, MMI, and Modex. So grateful to have our sponsors, Mark. They do a great job. Last week, we released on October 3rd, an interview with John David Mann. He wrote the book, Vagrant. It's an inner journey of leadership. I encourage each one of you to read it. John David is a great guy and author that I follow a lot and encourage you to get that book. We did a big promote of it. And so you get a chance to listen to John talk about the book he just wrote and released. And upcoming this week, we have got a really exciting interview with Pavan of Sunwest Mortgage talking about Angel AI. That's going to be released tomorrow, October 10th. It's a big one. Very important that you guys all listen to that one. Then on Wednesday, October, in fact, Mark, why don't you go ahead? I'm doing that one. I'm speaking. I'll have you do Marjorie. I do each one of these, Mark. I'm sorry, because I have details about each one of these. So
okay,
here we go. Okay. On Wednesday, October 11th, we're releasing an interview of 3 a.m., the three owners of Alcova Mortgage. You're going to enjoy this because it talks about the core values as a foundation of leadership. I've had the privilege and honor of coaching the three owners of Alcova Mortgage. That's how we come up with the name 3AM, three owners of Alcova Mortgage, 3AM. And it's been a real joy. What we're talking about in this interview is their core values as foundation of leadership. It's really important. Then on Wednesday, October 3rd, we're releasing a really good interview that I did with Marjorie Adams about the National Association of Realtors lawsuit. And we're having a discussion around it. You won't want to miss that interview. It's crammed full of great information, better yet, better perspective of how to look at these changes that are happening with the real estate industry. Special thank you and a shout out to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, and Alan Pollock for their contributions to the podcast each and every week. Let's get over to the MBA Mortgage Minute with Adam DeSantis.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith penned a letter to MBA members that addressed how the Federal Reserve's monetary policy actions, including rate hikes and quantitative tightening, as well as fiscal policy and political dysfunction, have bloated the 10-year Treasury versus 30-year fixed-rate mortgage spread, leading to a jump in mortgage rates and a significant cool-down in borrower demand. Brooksmith acknowledged that while the Fed will not intervene to support a segment of the housing finance market, absent risk to the entire financial system, it is very important for the Fed to make two clear statements. One, the Fed is at the end of its rate hikes, and two, it will not consider selling its MBS holdings until and unless the housing finance market has stabilized and mortgage-to-treasury spreads have normalized. Brooksmith also stressed the need for the Fed to do this during a live CNBC interview on Wednesday. MBA recognizes how severely current market conditions are straining the housing finance market and member companies. We are regularly engaged with senior leadership at the Fed and will continue to share real-time market color on both residential and commercial lending. It is also important to understand that the Fed policy alone is not responsible for the recent rate instability. Fiscal policy and political dysfunction have also played a role, and Congress must take steps to restore budget discipline and effective policy making. MBA, along with other housing trade associations, will be asking the Fed in the coming days to communicate its plans. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that. Listeners, be sure to sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance. You can do that on your favorite iPhone app and download it. That way you can have your voice heard on the Hill and support the MBA's efforts of what they're doing when talking to our legislative members.
Now it's time for the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets with Les Parker. So exciting to have Les here with us today. And it is always insightful as the information Les provides.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Traveling in a fried out bear trend. On a steeper trail makes bears like zombies.
Biden enables Iran to make billions on oil by not enforcing sanctions, which fuels inflation in the U.S. and finances acts of hate towards Israel. Will the newest terrorist war spark flight to liquidity or impatience to wait for more relevant economic data? Before the horrific news over the weekend, the 10-year yield remained trapped between 470 and 490. A break above 490 signals a move over 510, while a move below 470 suggests a move under 450. Can't you hear? Can't you hear? Bull thunder. Bears better run. You better take cover. No. These views are mine. Find economic relevance at TMSpotlight.com.
There's so much packed in that short message. If you haven't already done so, sign up for Les's TM Spotlight newsletter, and you can get the paid version for free if you enter the code word POWER, which is short for Power Seller. It is a great daily newsletter with some of the best insights you can find about what is driving our rates.
All right, let's take a quick moment, see what Kelk has for us today. Kelk is a unique tool that you can use for getting more loans done. Check out Kelk, C-A-L-Q-U-E. What do you have for us, Kelk?
Thanks, David. If there's one thing we can be certain of in this market, it's that everything is uncertain. Yes, we know mortgage activity continues to stagnate. We know the Fed hasn't ruled out yet another rate hike. We know there is turmoil in the Treasuries market. What we don't know is how long the current cycle of uncertainty will last. That said, we applaud the government avoiding a shutdown, if only for a little while. We understand that the government's actions may actually work against its efforts for an economic soft landing, and a handful of economists are again publicly using the R word. But I want to take a moment to think not about potential home buyers, but about mortgage loan officers. The rumor is these macro events are sending them running for the door. In one conversation I had last week, it is estimated that our industry has gone from 180,000 loan officers at the height of the pandemic refi boom to around 90,000 today, with more exits anticipated. Can that be right? Are we really at half our peak staff? My thought is that this estimate should come as no surprise to anyone, and we should take comfort in the fact that everyone is probably taking a break from the downtrodden market and will come rushing back once the Fed gets through these uncertain times. Of that, I think we can be certain. I'm Dan Muggy, and that's this week's Calc Mortgage Minute.
Matt Graham is taking the day off for Columbus Day. But nonetheless, I want to encourage you to sign up for mbslive.net. You can sign up and get an extended trial period by using the code LOL for the Lickin' on Lending podcast. Because the markets are closed, we're going to be really paying attention to them tomorrow as the markets open, especially with all that's going on in Israel. What will be the outcome of that on the bond markets? We've had an ugly 10-year treasury. Where that's been heading has not been good. So let's see if this is the big reversal. Most of the time, you all were listening to this, you'll already know, but we're recording this on Columbus Day, so we don't know yet. Listeners joining us today again is, let's do this. So taking time from his busy golf schedule, we have David Kittle joining us on Columbus Day. I'm giving you a bad time, David. I do appreciate you joining in Columbus Day. You're here with a good another red report. Are you going to be going golfing and having fun this afternoon?
I am not. I actually have two more calls with TMC. So we are all working today at the Mortgage Collaborative, believe it or not. And it's Monday. So no golf for me today. Maybe tomorrow.
No golf.
We'll see you tomorrow afternoon. No golf today.
What do you have for us today in the world of production and perspective?
Let me just do perspective, if I could, to start with. Yeah. And I have a really good friend. Don't have permission to use his name. He's been in the mortgage business for a long time. He does his own commentary. So just right up front, this isn't my in-depth analysis, but I think he's spot on with this. And we're worried about inflation. We're worried about because the Fed is reacting to whether there is or there isn't inflation. And their target's 2%. So it's still higher. And wages drive that. So when you want wages to ease, you want inflation to come down. However, the perspective is with everybody on strike from healthcare to auto workers and getting massive pay increases, which will overall raise for hundreds of thousands of people across the country wages to go up, inflation's not likely to come down anytime soon. And if you believe that particular scenario, then the Fed has a hard time easing at any time soon. And they will at least stay where they are before they would start to ease, which doesn't, again, if you believe that scenario, it means rates wouldn't come down anytime soon. You think rates, we got 30-year fixed rate conventional, a little over 7.75. The jumbo's almost at 8.
Yep.
A 15 years at 7.125 right now.
Yep.
And that's really tough over a year for the last year and a half. And so people are having a hard time to adjust to that. I think I made a statement probably 8 or 9 months ago that I thought within a year or so, sometime in 2024, we would see it improve. And the longer we go like this, the more it drives in, to my analysis now, personally, 5 before we really start seeing a turnaround. And that's really not good news going forward, even though we've got an election year coming up.
Yeah, that's interesting. Election year, saying. Yeah. And what's really interesting, Doug Duncan and the of course, Fratantoni over at the MBA, and even our own Les Parker has been and remained fairly optimistic and adamant, even in the case of Parker, that we'll see interest rates dropping by year end. And fairly significantly getting down into the sixes again and possibly knocking on the door on the high fives. So I admire their ability to predict on that, but I am.
This is one I'd love to be wrong on, David.
Yeah, but I think more and more people are at where you're at. And I think it may be even healthier to have the perspective that you have, David, because if you think you're living on a rates are going to fall scenario, you have a hope in something that may be out further in the future with your attitude.
And that would give you some paralysis in going forward, yeah, then, wouldn't it? And so
I,
I, th- think the reality is it's whatever it is, and you just go do loans.
Yeah, just go do loans. I mean, we were making loans. I'm looking at a graph because I'm speaking in three different cities to three different groups this week. I've been going through and looking at a lot of the economic data and looking at historical where we were. We did a lot of loans at this level in the, when we were coming down to these levels. A lot of volume was happening. It's just getting a mindset, a shift in our mindset and a new perspective on it. That's a great perspective, David. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. One other thing that I saw, I don't know if it was in NBA NewsLink or not. It might have been National Mortgage News. It's a long-term effect on us indirectly, is that the Supreme Court has decided is getting ready to hear argument on whether the CFPB was legitimately funded.
Yes.
And what effect will that have on how you have to perform long-term if they find out that it's an illegitimate part of the government at this point? So we should watch that long-term.
Yeah, those arguments actually started last week, and I think the hearing was heard last week, if I understand correctly. So we won't find out till first quarter, probably January, maybe February, before they publish it. But that is a significant tectonic shift in the market on what could happen. So we've got a lot of reason for concern about what's happening. That's why you have to reset the mark, your head, to get back and just saying, whatever loan's being done out there in the market, I'm going to have my name on it, and I'm going to be doing it. That's what you have to do. And yes, good perspective. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, have a good Columbus Day, Dave.
You too, sir. Appreciate you being here. Enjoy the rest of your calls. Appreciate you and all the TMC is doing for us. Appreciate it. Bye.
David, Mark, I want to add a post comment to what Mr. Kettle said. Talk to a number of attorneys about the CFPB situation. And what they're concerned about is that if the decision was made that the entity was not funded correctly, there's going to be a line a couple miles long of all the people that paid the CFPB fines that are going to say that you weren't legitimate. You had no congressional authority to hit me with those fines. I want my money back. And then it's going to start a new round of what the government's going to do to ensure that an organization like that is in place, because a great deal of congressmen probably feel like it's a good idea and a great deal feel like it's not a good idea. But then we'll have that thing again where something's trying to set up that can work, and then we'll be revisiting all the regulations again. And just glad this minutia, I call it, of a regulatory overlay on top of us again to make our job harder and more expensive to do. So there's a lot of rumbling effects happening on that I think are going to have a real major effect depending on how that turns out in the long term.
Yeah, I think one thing to keep in mind, the MBA filed a brief that said in the event that the Supreme Court ruling goes against the way that deems it not constitutional, the funding, that they want to keep all the rules that have been determined to this point in place so that we are not having a major conundrum out there where there is like no rules, no sheriff, no nothing. So there's going to be a lot of fallout from this. I think that's the more reasonable approach. Like Alice said last week, the devil we know is better than the devil we don't know. So anyway.
I agree with that, but when does the government ever work like we expect it should?
Now, we don't want to get that going because Mr. Kittle could get on a soapbox, and we know how he likes to rant on that one.
I think it's despicable, a lot of things that he's done, but not to come out and condemn. And then we've got three congresswomen who are supporting the Palestinians, members of our Congress.
I know.
Supporting that. It is reprehensible what they and Biden are doing and the fact that he hasn't shown up. It's just horrible.
Yeah, it is. David, thank you so much for being here. Mark, thank you for your additional comments. Appreciate it.
Safe travels, David. Mark, take care, buddy.
Take care, Mr. Kittle.
All right. Alice Alvey is here with us with a recorded message. She's enjoying the day off, but she did take the time to send in a recording. Alice, what do you have for us?
Hi, Dave. Hello, everyone. Well, today I just wanted to spend a few minutes to debrief a little bit on the arguments that were presented before the Supreme Court last week on the CFPB funding structure. It was very interesting to see how each of the justices landed. If you'd like to get an accounting of this, I recommend going to the SCOTUS blog. They have a complete detail of how each of the justices reacted to the testimony. In the end, I think what is interesting is the assessments are considering that the judges were essentially split, with a couple of the justices not really being 100% clear on exactly which way they will land. And I think most interesting is that at the end, Judge Francisco countered that the problems in the funding mechanism were sufficiently extensive that the court could not simply exercise specific provisions from the funding statute. Instead, he suggested that Congress would effectively have to start over again and create a valid appropriation for the CFPB, at which point it could then make clear that the agency's prior rules and regulations were still good law. So the argument that there's precedence out there with other agencies who are operating under the same funding structure didn't hold any water for some of the justices, because their comments, even though it seemed they were made aware that this would be profound disruption, that comment that Francisco countered with is essentially saying, well, then Congress has to go fix the problem that they created. This will be super interesting to see how this actually pans out. I like one of the comments that was made where this isn't really even a decision to be made by the Supreme Court. Congress set up the funding structure. If they don't like it, then they have to go fix it. So it's a lot of back and forth that at the end we are left with, we don't know. And we are going to have to wait potentially into next year before we get a decision on this. So that's my quick update today, Dave, on the CFPB funding structure. We are still operating as usual in limbo until we get their final conclusions later next year. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Alice. I appreciate you sending that recording. Hope you're enjoying your Columbus Day. Alan Pollock has also taken the day off, but he did take the time to put together a recording for us. So, Alan, Brent.
Hey, David. Good to be here today. Let's get into some cool stuff. So did you know that AI is making its way into dating apps, and they claim to find your perfect match using only your face? Thinking about facial recognition and all the cool tech that's out there, or the selfie AI that can make the best selfie picture, clearly AI is doing something with your face to find you your best match. And if that's not good enough for you, Dave, you can go to what's called Teasers AI dating app. It turns you into a chatbot. So I don't know how that works, but if you're dating and you're like AI and you want to try it out, go give those two a check. So I thought this would be kind of funny for a day like today, David. It's a question, one of those shower thoughts that we've talked about in the past. This one's called why. If money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? Well, because today's pre-recorded, I'm sure you're laughing, so thank you for that. Let's talk about digital mortgage that just happened. And here's a recap. So apparently there's been everything at digital mortgage, from new loan origination systems to mortgage training programs. And there was a healthy dose of artificial intelligence into the mix. I'm taking this, I think it's off of National Mortgage News, but there, here are the three folks that did the best. So first is a company called Halcyon. And they were the first prize winner. They do IRS tax transcripts for underwriting. And they have a direct integration with the IRS. And they are approved by Fannie and Freddie Mac. I didn't see the presentation, so if you're interested to learn more, go check that out. In second place, David, was Haven. They are a servicing connect company for marketing. And what they say is the ability to connect into existing systems and servicing tools. Their platform is aimed toward creating efficiencies and recapturing borrowers. Very interesting. And then in third was Blend Labs, with what they call their Copilot. And it permits the customer to send questions or requests to the loan officer at any time, pushing through an LO app. And through AI, the chatbot can automatically run requests and come up with answers that no human assistants could do on their own. So hats off to all three of those companies. Always great tech that's continuing to come out. Speaking of AI, David, each week I said that we would provide an AI tool. Well, you're going to want to write this one down. It is called easypeasy.ai. And what they do is they create amazing emails 10 times faster with AI tools. They do a couple different things. They're a content creator, and basically they help you and your team break through creative blocks to find amazing original content 10 times faster. I've tried it out. It is so super, super cool. Go check it out. And then David, you know, continuing with mortgage fraud or with vishing, if you remember the attack that occurred back at MGM and 20 something of their properties, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to talk next week as well about social engineering, but today I wanted to talk about deepfakes. So deepfakes, or media scans are also called, are highly realistic manipulated video, audio, or images that depict a person or event that have occurred. So thinking about the mortgage industry, listen to this. Deepfake uses a combination of artificial intelligence and machine learning, those different techniques, to generate convincing impersonations of individuals, making fictional events appear real. In other words, they pretend they're you or somebody else, and they try and hack or gain access to systems and do different things. A little bit different than what happened at MGM, where they truly impersonated somebody. This one, in this case, is actually AI doing the entire process. So get this. In politics, you're going to continue to see this, and we've probably all heard about it. People are worried about the upcoming campaigns. There's actually been posts of Elon Musk saying he's giving out free Bitcoin on the internet that are completely fake. The average person can't tell, but if you look real carefully, you can see or hear that it is fake. It's going to be with celebrities and entertainments, these deep fakes. We've probably already heard about these, but it's going to be heavily, heavily geared in fraudulent activities. And a classic example of deep fake fraud, criminals, like we were talking about a moment ago, can create realistic videos or audios of executives or managers and use those deep fakes to request unusual financial transactions. And in a perfect example, a real world example of this occurring, a case of deep fake fraud back in 2019, right? So this is a few years ago, where an unnamed UK-based energy firm lost over $250,000 due to a deep fake audio of their CEO asking for a transfer of funds. So let's keep our eyes out. This clearly is going to make its way into all type of consumer financial transactions. Definitely it's going to be in the mortgage. We'll talk more about social engineering next week. Otherwise, thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And you have to get a hold of me if you're interested. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com. Thanks, David.
Allen, I appreciate you taking the time to put that together. A lot of great information in that. If you want to get a hold of Allen, email him at allen@tms-advisors.com. Allen is the chief operating officer of Candid, one of our dear friends, and really some great technology. Check out candid.com. Appreciate them very much. All right, that wraps up the podcast. We, unfortunately, Mark had some connection issues, so we just dropped out. I want to say a special thank you to everyone who is a part of this podcast, makes it possible through our sponsors, specifically Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Candor, Simple Nexus, iEmergent, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, and Modex. So grateful to have our sponsors. So grateful to have you as our listeners. Have a great rest of your day. Check out all of the information about each one of our sponsors on our website, as well as listen to each one of the updates from each one of our contributors. You can listen to this Alice, just binge on Alice or binge on any one of the podcast regulars. A lot more downloading and listening to what Alan's been saying lately. It's really interesting, the attention that he's getting on there. So check it out. You can see all of them. You'll listen to the podcast as we broadcast it. We can listen to each one of the segments individually. Have a great week. Have a great Columbus Day. And look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for